tonight we have a special night. It is special in a lot of ways because y'all are here. It's special because Kara Landtrip is going to be speaking tonight. And it's also special because later, hi Kara, we got a cake for you. Later we're going to celebrate Kara's faithful service. I heard you like vanilla cake. I hope that was true. Okay. So I don't know. I'm not good at surprises. But whatever. We're going to have a cake and ice cream for you later. And your cake says, praising God for our time together, praying that he continues to bless you in Mozambique. So tonight, what's special about tonight is not only will we have cake and ice cream later. That's not that special. What's very special is Kara's going to share with us here in just a couple minutes what's been going on in her life. I would say over the last few years, but really it's all been building this probably your entire life. So I'm excited to hear Kara's story. We had Kara over, Angel and I did, to kind of share with us, I don't know, sometime in the last 6 months, but then things have changed so much throughout that time. But I wanted you guys to hear from her what she'll be doing and how God's working in her life. Without further ado, can I pray for you?
Yes.
All right. Let me pray for Kara. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for tonight, this opportunity to hear how you've been active in just one person's life who's a very dear friend to me. Lord, I pray that you continue to guard Kara as she goes, as these final weeks before she departs for Mozambique. I pray that you order all of the details and the relationships in such a way that as she's sent off, she's encouraged, supported, knowing that she is, in fact, seeking to do your will. And Lord, I pray that you go before her, that you start to make the soil very fertile. She goes to share the gospel, that she will see much fruit from her labor and that she can be a part of the harvest. So Lord, we pray tonight that you give her the words to speak and to touch the hearts of those that are hearing. Amen.
Well, thank you so much. I'm going to go ahead and just jump right in because I want to start with my testimony of how I came to the Lord and then just my journey through sanctification process and missions and all of that. So I've always known about God. My parents are Christians, and they taught me and my siblings about God from a really young age, but I didn't understand the gospel message. And I thought, for some reason, that I would have to earn my salvation, so I thought I'd have to be good enough before I came to God. So I knew I wasn't there yet, so I was like, okay, I'm just going to wait on this. But at the same time, I didn't want people to know that I wasn't a Christian because being in a Christian environment, you want to appear to, like, fit in with everyone. Also, there's a whole thing that, like, this holiness standard that we all have to live up to. And so I wanted to appear to be holy, but I also did not want to commit everything to Christ. I didn't feel ready. I knew that if I came to Christ, I would have to give up myself. And at that time, I didn't want to do that. So I just thought, I'll just wait. And I kept telling myself and I kept telling God that eventually I'll come to him and I'll commit when I'm ready. But that ready moment never came, so I just kept living my life. And honestly, I was really content with where I was at. I had a lot of friends, I had family, a lot of fun activities, involved in a lot of sports. And it's terrible to say, but if God wasn't being used for my purposes, like being seen as holy at church or youth group or being respected for my depth or knowledge of scriptures or to going for him to for comfort, then I really kind of found him an interruption to my life. So I wanted to know God for the bits and pieces of my life that were important to me, so for my happiness, for my peace, for respect, and for my own glory. And once God ceased to fulfill those kind of desires in me, I just kind of put him to the side. And so that's kind of how I lived my life, more or less, until the end of high school. So I was just kind of waiting around for God. Also, I just want to make a quick side note. This right moment will never come. So if you also are in this position and you're waiting for this right moment, it's not going to come. You're never going to be ready, and you're never going to be good enough to come to God. So you have to do it now. So this was kind of my trajectory, and I was living this life, and I felt sort of secure in Christ. Even though I knew I wasn't committed to him, I didn't feel scared about anything, and I felt like I was doing pretty well. But thankfully, I wasn't left in this. And so at age 18, at the end of high school, my content life that I'd been living sort of collapsed, and I was devastated. My sister, who was my closest friend, she got pregnant and ran off with this boy that my parents really strongly disapproved of. And then when that happened, my parents sort of fell apart, my friends left, and there was a lot of gossip that was going around about my family, and so I was really struggling. And I felt like in the midst of all that, it was my responsibility to be there for my family and kind of keep them all together. So I didn't really know what to do, and I was pretty desperate. So I turned to God, and even though I knew I was unworthy, I'd lived from excuse to excuse, and I'd rejected God, I'd used him, and I'd overlooked my sin. But I didn't want to keep living this false Christianity anymore. Like, the weight of it was too much, and I knew it wasn't genuine. So I'd just been living for me and not for God, and that's when I realized how little I knew about God. And through his grace alone, my eyes were opened, and I saw that I would never be able to earn salvation. Jonathan Edwards says it really well. He says, you contribute nothing to your salvation except the sin that made it necessary. And Psalms 103 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, for he has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. I couldn't wrap my mind around that, but I knew that this was a kind of love that I could never deserve. Christ's death for my sins and taking the full wrath of God and giving me his righteousness was something I just couldn't understand. And it's still a truth that I can't fully grasp. God knows me and in all of my pride and my sin, but he died for me. And I know that his love is so different because he doesn't just love me at my best, which is how I tend to love people is at their best. And I know that God doesn't love me this way because he died for me at my worst. So therefore, I'm able to live before God on Christ's merit and not my own. And this is such a relief because I could never deserve that. So during this time of like a lot of family difficulties and changes, because I had just graduated high school and I was starting college, just God gave me a lot of strength. He gave me a desire to read his word, to pray, to seek him. And he put a lot of mentors in my life that helped disciple me. And that was a big encouragement to me because I really didn't know much about scripture. 2 Corinthians 12:9 was a really big encouragement to me at this time. It says that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And that was definitely me at the time. That's still me. But even through that, God was at work. And I was really excited about what I was learning. It was a complete change. I had gone through life content before this, and now that I had come to God, I was so excited about his truth that I wanted to tell everyone I knew. I didn't actually have a lot of friends from high school because a lot of them had left due to like a lot of things that were going on in my family. But I reached out to them, and I wrote them letters just telling them about my salvation and coming into to God and the truth that I had learned. And I reached out to family members and shared with my sisters about the gospel and God and what I was learning. And I started a girls' Bible study that I was leading in the summers with my sister. And I felt really passionate about God, and I wanted to share him with everyone. So as I neared graduation, I thought I had figured everything out. I was like, okay, so I'm doing this thing. I'm going to get my master's in music therapy, and I'm going to use this for ministry. But God had other plans. And a verse that has been put in my mind a lot over through the years is Proverbs 16:9, especially a lot recently since things continue to change all the time. It says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. And so all the things were not turning out like how I thought they were and how I'd planned. An opportunity opened up for me to go to work with a missionary family in Zambia, Africa. So I would be working with their church through youth ministry, through soccer outreach, teaching, and then I would lead music with the church. And this just seemed great for me. I was really excited about it. These are all things I love doing. And so after a lot of thought and prayer, I agreed to go and help out this family and live with them for a year in Zambia. And so 3 months later, I left. There was not a lot of time for any prep, so I kind of just jumped right into things when I got there. Didn't really consider how much that was going to be a huge change. There was a new language, a new culture, a new family, a new church, and I didn't really know anyone there, so I was kind of just on my own. But God, again, gave me a lot of strength during this time, and I adjusted well to this new style of life. So in the first few months, It was going really well, and I was like, this is so easy. I'm just going to keep doing this the rest of my life, living here, no problems. So there were a lot of great things that were going on there. I loved the people that I was working with. I loved the culture. I got to do a lot of awesome things, and so I loved it. And there's so much that I could talk about in that, but I also want to mention the difficulties that came along with these things. So at the time, I was pretty busy with all my stuff, but then I did sense a lot of division within the church. Like I said, when I went there, I just jumped right into things, and they didn't have a lot of leadership in the church, so the people that did, they were very focused on their ministries. And so there was like women's ministry, men's ministry, children's and youth, and everyone had their spot that they were working in, and there was no real unity in there. It was very divided, and the leaders were focused on whatever their ministry was, and honestly, there was a lot of pride and kind of a competition almost just to see which area was thriving the most, and there wasn't a lot of help or guidance or accountability. It was just kind of a you do your thing, I'll do mine thing, just don't interfere, just do it. It's a little bit hard because when I first went, I had no idea what I was doing at all, and I was just kind of left. So they gave me a lot of things to do, and they're like, just however you want to do it, go for it. I was like, okay. So I just did the best that I could. So I would have definitely benefited a lot from guidance. But yes, we didn't have this unity in the church, and the more time that went on, the more sin that I saw within the church. So there wasn't just this division in the church, there's also a lot of sin that was going on, and it wasn't addressed because everyone was in their separate areas and they didn't appreciate you looking into their life at all. So when I saw this sin, I was kind of shocked by it. A lot of it was shocking, very unbiblical, and I was like, how could this be going on within a church? I didn't understand what was going on, and when I would address it to people, they're like, that's none of your business, you don't understand, you're really young. All of that is true. I'm very young. I don't understand things, but I was like, I kind of think I know what the Bible says about this, and it's sin. So that was really frustrating for me, and I was just really discouraged by that. The missionaries that I was living with were struggling in their marriage, and they were not open about this, so I had no idea before I came. Although these problems had been going on for years, because they didn't want anyone to know about it, so they didn't want it to interfere with their ministry or any of the things that they were doing. And they were very separated from other missionaries. There was other missionaries in the area, but they didn't want to work with them, again, because it was very separated, and they just had a lot of pride in a lot of areas. So they would give me all these reasons, like, oh, this is why we can't work with these people, this is why we can't work with these people. And when I had first got there, I was like, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Man, that's unfortunate, but yeah, that makes sense. The longer that time went on, I was like, man, this is so sad. We're all Christians. Why can't we work together? And they were even the same denomination, and some of them were from the same, like, sending agency. So these missionaries were serving God, but they were miserably serving God. They didn't have any joy. They didn't base it on the truth. And they had this mindset that God owed them something for their service. And that was really sad to see. And they were just so miserable. And I won't go into any great depth about it, but I will say that it was a complete mess. And I was challenged in so many ways during this time, and this just drove me to the Word, to God, and to continually praying, because I didn't have anything else. I didn't really know who to turn to, because I was having problems even with the people that I was living with, and so I was just really, I felt really alone. I didn't know what to do, but I was like, okay, I know I have God, and I know I have His Word, and I'm just going to keep praying and searching for truth. I didn't have a lot of answers, but I did see how broken we are as humans, how sinful we are, and how easy it is to become distracted from our walk with God. Anything can become a distraction from God and our walk with Him. Even ministry can be a distraction. And so I just saw that so much, where you can get caught up in work and failures and disappointments, doctrinal issues, how successful things seem to be going, and how much of an impact you're having on people, and all this comparison that can happen, and it all becomes about us instead of about God. I just want to say a quick word of warning about this, that it's really easy to see the faults and sins in others and be discouraged by that. So when I was seeing these things and when I came back from Zambia, I was really discouraged. I came back and I had a really negative view about ministry in general, but especially missions. And it took a long time for me to sort through many of these things that I had experienced there. I had a lot of questions and I had a lot of doubt. When I first got back, I was really struggling with a lot of things, but thankfully I was able to meet with a lot of godly and wise people, most of whom are in this church, and that really helped me, and it gave me a good perspective, and it just brought me back to the truth of the gospel. And so that really helped, and that just reminded me that there's nobody that's righteous. None of us are, and we're helpless without God. And we're never above the gospel message. So even if we're in a place of ministry and you think that you're at some level and you're sharing these truths with people, it doesn't mean that you're above that message that you're sharing with them. I know, too, that I'm not less susceptible to sin that I see in others. In fact, I know I'm prone to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. By the grace of God alone, I'm enabled through the Spirit." That's how we're enabled. And but we must continually be of that mindset. We have been freed from sin, but we need to be continually on guard, and the scripture is full of warnings to us, so we don't just come to God and then just take it easy. It's not easy. We've been made new in the Spirit, and we need to continue in that. We can't rely on our own strength, and we have to look to him each moment, and that's something I saw a lot in Zambia and experienced that, and it was really difficult and in a lot of ways to learn that through so many struggles, but something that was really valuable. A lot of times I feel like we substitute past experience, so either good things or bad things that we've done, and we kind of replace it for today's obedience. We get caught up in the past, whether good or bad, and we look to the future, waiting for some great opportunity that seems really cool to serve, but we neglect daily obedience to God. And we need to put those things behind us and continually look ahead to Christ. We have to gaze upon him and not merely glance, because I feel like that's what we do all the time. We just take little glances at Christ and then we think we can do it on our own, and that's just not how it is. One of my favorite passages is Philippians 3:12-14. It says, "Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of this, of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of for me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." There's a really big danger in being content to just swim on the surface of truth. And it's my hope and prayer that we commit to diving deep within God's word and that we seek to know him. We don't do this very often. I have really struggled with this. I make God a part of my life, but he's not the focus. And I'm forever tempted to look for the minimum that will be accepted by God. So I think if I do this, it's probably enough, then I'm good. I can check it off and just do whatever I want. And that's just so hard. We come to God when things are difficult, and we ask him to change our situations and our relationships so that we can be happy, but that's not his goal. He's seeking to change us through our situations and relationships so that we'll be holy. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, "Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he has called you as holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" This is a serious calling. This is not some light matter, and it's not a side thing. This is the calling for our entire life. And I just want to stress that, because a lot of times I think we get really tired of obeying God and what we consider the little things. And we want to do something great for God, and we're not even content to obey him and the things that he has set for us in his word. And I know there's so much, there's this big thing that we're always thinking, like, what's God's will for my life? What's God's plan for my life? And it's like, okay, but have you obeyed him today? those things that he says in Scripture, have you looked at that and have you been obedient in those things? Because until you do those things, you're not going to be walking in the will of God. So you just wait for that, just like I was saying earlier. So we're called to be God, like God, and he's transcendent. He is not like us. Psalms 50 rebukes the thought that God is like us. It says that you thought I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. We often look to be comforted by the nearness of God, and we forget about the miracle that that really is, because we first need to realize the transcendence of God, how beyond us that he really is. And until we realize that he's infinitely beyond us and seek to know his holiness, we cannot even begin to know the depth of his love. C.S. Lewis said something about this that I really love. He said, in God you come up against something which is in every respect immeasurably superior to yourself. Unless you know God as that, and therefore know yourself as nothing in comparison, you do not know God at all. As long as you are proud, you cannot know God. A lot of the time I feel like we want God to need us. We want to be needed in a certain area or a ministry, and we like to feel important. We like to feel above other people. That's something natural for us because we are sinful. But he does not need us, and I think until we humbly come before him, we really can't serve him rightly. Acts 17 talks about this very thing where it says that God is not worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. It's him that gives us all life, breath, and all things. So there's nothing in us that he's looking at and thinking, okay, this person's specifically great for this because they're just a great person. But he has given us Christ's righteousness, and that is such a blessing. And so we can serve him in Christ, but we cannot rightly serve him until we are first deeply in awe of how he has served us. I can't offer him anything until I see that he has first given me everything. I really liked Jim's message earlier today. He was talking about this very thing where he's saying that a lot of times we are focused on ourselves and we want people to see me, and instead we're supposed to be pointers to Christ. I often like to have people notice how much I've done, how much I've accomplished, how big of an impact I've made, how I've influenced people, who I've led to the Lord, all of these things, but that is not of God. We have to be Christ pointers. As John says, we must decrease and he must increase. We cannot be the focus. I'm just in the way, and my selfishness and my pride is not of God. We are called to be ambassadors for Christ, to go and make disciples of God, not of us. We are unified in this calling, and Christ should be our aim. We should be of the same mind for the same purpose, and there is no, I'm not going out and trying to make Kara followers, and I know AJ is not going out and trying to make AJ followers. We're trying to make disciples of God, and we need to point to him, and a lot of the time we get in the way, and we do. People see us and admire us and lift, and you get lifted up. It's just a mess. We just need to step out of the way and point to God. Paul's talking about this in Corinthians, and this is because this kind of division is what's happening in the church of Corinth, and Paul reminds them that we preach Christ crucified. He's saying that very thing, that we're not raising up our own followers, but Christ followers, and that's what we need to have our focus on. It's my prayer that we should be unified in this truth and as the body of Christ. Whatever we do in word or deed, I pray that we would do all to the name of Jesus. As I go overseas to Mozambique, it is my prayer. I pray to gaze continually on him, but that's also my prayer as I'm here. And that's my prayer each day. That's my prayer for you, that you would continually set your gaze on Christ. I would pray that we'd seek to glorify God, and that he would be worshipped for who he truly is, and not who we make him to be. So I challenge you guys, as you guys are listening to the study two in Corinthians, to examine yourself, to test yourself, and to ask yourself, am I truly seeking after God and his glory, or am I seeking after my own glory? What is your aim? Are you unified in the truth? Following after Christ is not easy. And I know a lot of times we feel really discouraged, we feel worn out and overwhelmed and frustrated, but there really is such a peace in following Christ. And there's really nothing that's even comparable to knowing God, to having a relationship with him. And even now, we can't understand the full extent of it. We can only understand a small piece of it. And so that already in itself is so incredible. And then we have this hope that we'll fully know it someday and be united with Christ. And that is just so amazing. There's so much hope that we have in Christ. And he alone is faithful. There's been a lot of times throughout my life that I've been betrayed by people and I've been sinned against by people in tremendous ways. But I also have betrayed people and I also have sinned against people in tremendous ways. And it just shows how unworthy we are as people, how sinful we are and prone to pride. But I'm just so thankful that God doesn't leave us there and the hope that he's given us in him. I love 2 Timothy 2:13 and I read it almost daily. It says, "For if we've died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself." And in experiencing this kind of faithfulness and this love, it's so different from ours. We tend to love people and we tend to love to be loved for our usefulness and for our worth. But God's loved us when we were completely unlovable. And though we are worthless, he's given us his righteousness so that we are worthy in him. And that's such a blessing. And then there really is nothing more worthwhile than following after Christ. But I do want to encourage you to fully pursue him. Do not just dip your toe in the water and kind of half-heartedly seek after God and play these games. Like I mentioned earlier, I was all about these levels of how holy I was, how much I was getting noticed. Even in ministry, it's a really hard thing not to compare yourself to others and not to just get bogged down by numbers and all these things and forget that we're seeking after Christ and we should be unified in him. So I do pray that you do make it your aim to know God and to point others to him and not to yourselves. I know I haven't gotten into a lot of details about my upcoming mission trip to Mozambique. So quickly, I am going to Mozambique for 2 years, and I'm hopefully leaving within the next month. But I really wanted to focus on the ministry that God has called us all to. And that doesn't really change depending on where you're going. That's the same for all of us. So I do pray that we can be unified in this calling that God has given us to be pointers to him and to glorify him in everything that we do and say. So I am leaving soon, so if anyone wants to know more details, I'm doing similar things that I had done in Zambia. I'm going with One Mission Society, and I'm really excited just for this opportunity that he's given me. And so I pray that all of us, again, will be unified in the same purpose. We're not just doing our own things. We're doing one thing for him. And so I'm really excited about that, and I hope you guys will be too. Yes.
So you mentioned early on before you had dedicated your life to Christ that there were certain things that you didn't want to commit or surrender to God. Like what? Can you give us some examples?
Time. I just wanted to do my own thing. So I knew that if I committed to God that I'd have to actually read his word, actually pray. So I was okay with reading his word like every once in a while, but I didn't want to dedicate that to him. I just didn't want to give up my own things.
When you said the collapse happened, do you think because of that? Why do you think because of that you turned to God?
I didn't really know what else to do. A lot of pressure was being put on me by my family, and again, like I said, my parents kind of fell apart. And it wasn't only just the pressure that was put on by my family. It was also kind of the truth that I had staked my life upon was falling apart as well. So things that my parents had taught me, things that I never thought would happen to my family, all that kind of stuff just fell apart. So I was like, I'm at a loss completely. So I just didn't know.
How did you know that music wasn't God's plan for you, the missions was?
Can you say that again?
How did you know that music wasn't God's ultimate plan for you, the missions was?
I think this kind of goes into what I was saying earlier, where it's not like I don't think God has like some big plan where it's like it has to be this thing. I think that you need to daily, obediently follow God and what he's given you. And if you're faithful in those things, I feel like you're going on the right path. So I don't know that I would necessarily say, like, even that this is. I don't know if I'm going to do missions forever, but I do want to be obedient and follow God in what he's given me.
Yeah. How did talking through the ugly part of your missions experience change or help your perception of missions being God's will for you?
I think my negative look on missions was just that, oh my word, everyone's just caught in a bunch of sin and they're not following after God's word. And I was just discouraged by the fact that I thought, I don't know, it's all a sham. Mm. So I was discouraged in that sense. And I wasn't doubting God necessarily. I was doubting people and what they were saying that they were doing. And so that's kind of why I was doubting missions. And so it was really helpful to kind of be humbled in the fact that, like I said, we're all susceptible to sin. Nobody's above that. And so I may be teaching the gospel message to people, but that doesn't mean that I'm beyond it or above it in any way. And so I think that's the kind of perspective that helped me. Okay, I need to continue in this. And it's not about the people. It's about God.
Thanks. Thank you, Kara, so much. Appreciate you. It has been such a joy for me to serve alongside Kara. I think, how long ago did you become a member? A couple years ago. And I've been a youth pastor for just a couple years. She was actually the first person, I think, I could be wrong, that went through the fundamentals class. And I get these little sheets after you become members. And I think you noted on that you were interested in helping with youth ministry. And man, what a blessing you've been to all of us, the girls especially, from retreats to Frisbee to just the way that you intentionally pour in and have been working so diligently to become a biblical counselor. That's something else that Kara does really, really well. And so I just pray that God has gifted you. I know that he's gifted you, but pray that he continues to carry you through in and on the mission field in Mozambique.